Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Live or dead from Studio A, it's the In Wheel Time car talk show coming up. Saturday Garage Talk amongst ourselves.
Uh-oh.
We've got the great big wash tub out here filled with ice and some non-alcoholic beverages.
Well, I ain't going.
It's because we drank all the alcohol already.
Yes, we started early.
The $81,000 GMC Sierra you'll want to know about. I drove it. I'll give you my impression of it. We also have the cruise-in calendar. And later, Conrad has This Week in Auto History. Also got stories making automotive news headlines this week. It's all just ahead on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. Thanks for joining us. Howdy along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. And now it's the roundabout section.
Uh-oh.
Roundabout, we don't have a guest.
That's exactly right.
So we get to talk amongst
ourselves.
And
you know, the way things have been going this morning, I invite you to stay tuned because... I'm not exactly sure where this is going to lead.
Is this going to go off the rails?
It's already off the rails. It's been off the rails.
We've got a rail
before,
story.
Before we even went into the dang show, we did it the tease. The tease is supposed to last about 90 seconds. Well, this morning, the tease lasted about 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite something to see. Now, you can't see
and
it.
And we had a guest on Zoom listening to it, and he went back to bed.
That's why we don't have any guests right now.
That's exactly why.
I ain't doing that.
Mars, it's all your fault.
Come on now.
As it always
it's
is. Always
at the end Mars of the table.
We love Mike.
That's right.
Mike
but he does have
his butt off.
But
on
he
this.
Does have his new shirt on.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Now, this is my old shirt.
Looks spiffy.
Is it the old one?
This is my old
one.
Is
we,
it really?
The new ones have the red on it.
Oh, okay. Well, so are we all going to wear our In Wheel Time shirts next week? What's can
next?
You remember
where
to
are
we wear
going it? Next week?
We're nowhere. We're going to be right here.
Oh.
Well, that would be easy enough.
It would be. But or do we want to debut them somewhere?
Well, we kind of did debut them already.
Well, not officially.
Well, no. It was a private party. It was a private
correct
soiree.
It was a soiree. Yeah.
And it was a fun soiree. We do want to give a
yeah.
shout out to John Hovis and the folks out at Hemi Hideout. Thanks for inviting us, allowing us to be a part of your 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun.
I actually played with some guys Wednesday evening, went oh, to boy. A rehearsal, and the bass player.
You played with some guys.
The bass player actually.
I was gonna say, I thought the court order said
does
you
the. He repairs neon. I'm oh, okay. just ignoring you.
Well. And,
he
know
repairs
that.
Neon, and he actually works out at Hemi Hideout repairing neon. I thought it was, you know, like goes around, comes around.
It's uh-huh.
pretty.
Well, that's probably a very specialized skill.
Yeah. He's a good bass player,
and
too.
And John does, you know, does all that.
Well,
neon
Bill does there. All that work.
Yeah.
John goes and collects the millions of dollars worth of signs.
And Bill's the one who restores them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Restores them, but he doesn't do the neon. It's just
Dan does it, yeah. Well, he's got his own company that
does neon.
Fans the
neon.
The glass.
Yeah. I mean, it's all specialized, but they're specialized
yeah.
because
yeah.
of that's the gas.
That is truly a work of art, mm-hmm. that neon stuff. You ever seen that done
mm-hmm.
where they blow the glass and they put all the stuff in it and twist it and turn it? And it's way beyond me. Mm. I could never do that.
Well, you only get one chance to do it
yes,
right.
That's yeah. right. Then you got to start all over again. I wonder yeah. how much that neon tube glass costs.
I don't know.
They sell it by the foot, I'm sure.
A linear
know.
Foot.
Yep.
And then you got to close the end off and fill it with a certain type of gas.
Argon? To get
the, well, but the
no,
gas they, is what develops the color.
Mm-hmm.
So different colors
right.
are different gases. And I think Bill Prokep, what's it? How do you say his last name?
Bill.
Him.
Yeah, he was explaining that one year about how the different gases are what create the different colors.
Yeah.
And I guess even some of the gases are extremely difficult to find.
And
today.
If you try to take a photograph inside the Hemi Hideout, unless you've got some sort of specialty camera, it
good
is
luck.
Very difficult to do because of all the neon in there.
Yeah, everything pinks out
yeah,
on
pink you.
It
yeah.
all looks pink. It picks up all of the reds that come into the
well, if you
frame.
Watch the show that we did out there, you see exactly what it is.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I thought that was a reflection off of Don's shoes, the red pumps.
That's right. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. There you go.
I picked those out just for that event. Mm-hmm. We have an event coming up in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And that would be the Tailpipes and Tacos event that's coming up at Loopy Tortilla, benefiting God's Garage.
That's going to be fun.
It is. It's a cruise day. We postponed it from last month because Stan had something to do, and it's so important to him that he wanted to be there for that. So we said, well, we'll just do it in April.
And this one is we've added a special invite to Tri Fives.
Yes.
And I've tried to send that to as many Tri Five clubs in and around Houston and Central Texas as I can. Hopefully we can get a real good turnout.
So it's a cruise in, and it's at the Loopy Tortilla out in Katy, which is 99 just south of I-10.
Mm-hmm. And Kingsland.
And it's a great event, and lots of tacos, lots to eat, and there's breakfast, adult beverages as well. And this is the one event, I think, that we're all really into and hoping the weather's going to cooperate. Everybody shows up.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of parking. And
and they get a good, diverse, Loopy Tortillas, that the Tailpipes and Tacos, they get a good, diverse selection of cars that show up from the old Rat Rods that'll show up every now and then to the new Lamborghinis and Ferraris will be there as well.
Do you know what else you notice when you go out there? The staff at Loopy Tortilla is very, very friendly.
Oh, yeah.
They're just wonderful people. They really are.
The food is awesome.
Yeah. Those people that work for Stan are very special.
They're loyal.
Right. He's got one guy, Gregario, and he works in the back. He's a cook, and he's Stan's, I think, last original employee from the early 80s when Stan opened Loopy One. And he doesn't work very often. He works when he can.
Is that the one at Highway 6, Loopy 1?
Yes. Loopy 1, yeah. And that's the one thing that Loopy's known for. As a matter of fact, and not to divert attention away from that, but Jeff and I and our close ones go over to Los Tios out here in Sugarland quite frequently. Leslie goes out there at least 2, 3, 4 times a week. But the staff over there is very similar. Mm-hmm. Very loyal. Mm-hmm. It's like we know all of them.
Yeah,
they all know us because we're the regulars. But most of the people that go over there are regulars. Mm-hmm. Friday night it's packed. It's crazy. A lot of Mexican food places are, especially on Friday nights. Why, I don't know. But it's just one of those things. And food's good. It's not crazy expensive. But the staff is wonderful over there. We like them. Mm-hmm. So they've got that going for them. But I regress. Jeff has some special, what is that thing that you, birthdays or what is it?
Yeah, well, there's, you didn't want to do it. In March, there's 4 race car driver birthdays. On the 10th of March.
Well, that's already passed us.
Yeah, it was Matt Kenseth's birthday. He was born in 1972. Casey Mears was born in 78. His is on the 12th. Eric Amarola was born in 1984. His was on the 14th. And
when was Richard Petty born?
In a hospital. And then Danica Patrick, who we all know and love, 1982, her birthday was on the 25th. She's on NASCAR as a reporter, and I can't watch NASCAR anymore.
Yeah,
it's turned you into... You are just being turned off from all automotive sports.
Hey, you tick me off, I'm not watching.
You won't watch F1 because you think they screwed Hamilton out of his championship a couple of years ago.
That's not at all.
You won't watch NASCAR because you don't like Danica. Because everything she talks about when she raced Indy cars. She raced NASCAR as well. She drove for Tony Stewart, but she was definitely a mid-pack driver. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so what other kind of racing don't you want to watch?
No, just those two.
Okay.
Just those two. In fact, the WEC was on yesterday from Sebring. I watched a little bit of that. Cadillac was in fourth or fifth place when I watched it. I don't know how they ended up.
And then IMSA is next weekend, I think.
Right. I like Sebring. Indy racing. Yeah. Indy racing's good.
Yeah. I've gotten into some interesting car shows on the Motor Trend streaming app. Car issues.
That's right. You switched to Hulu, didn't you?
I did. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I think so. Yeah.
And I got 8 gig. I'm sorry. I got 1 gig of speed now on my internet. So I boosted that up so I can get all this streaming stuff. And the streaming stuff is truly amazing.
One gig of speed and just a couple of hits of meth.
Yeah, and I'm in the other world that I never thought was a reality, but whatever. It was good. Yeah, the Motor Trend channel's got more streaming stuff on there that I never knew existed. But
so stuff that's not on the channel, but you can catch on streaming.
Mm-hmm. He was watching it. He thought he was going deaf. It turned out he had the volume turned down.
That's right, with the meth. Yeah. But yeah, great stuff, and I truly like it. And it cost me $40 for the little stick
the Hulu
that
stick,
goes in the back.
Stick.
And then I subscribed to the Roku channel, which has got a bajillion things on it. I still have my Netflix. So $80 for the 1 gig of internet speed, okay? Then nothing except $5 for Roku and $13 for Netflix. And I'm thinking about getting rid of Netflix because I really don't watch it that often. Hmm. Although I've brought up a couple of things that I've watched recently, but you know, there's so much on the Roku thing for free. You're entertained forever.
Yeah.
The only thing that I haven't got is FS2, and they want money for that. I'm thinking, yeah. If it's not on Fox.
Well, that's why you switched to Roku, is trying to save money from that monster.
That monster Xfinity.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And apparently I'm not by myself. There are other people that are doing the same.
Well, you've got me thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, $265 a month for the equipment and the basic cable. Basic cable, $265 a month. No. Not doing that. You kidding?
But you still keep Xfinity's
I keep internet. The box. Yeah, the internet. And I also have now, I went out and bought some digital antennas. So if anything ever happens to the internet, I can still
watch yourself on Channel 13.
Yeah. There you go.
The streaming app, yeah, on Channel 13 for free.
Yep.
Well, don't get rid of Netflix.
Are you going to be on there or something?
No, because as you become more domesticated, you're going to find that you'll have more opportunity to use that.
Hallmark Channel and Home Shopping Club.
That's four syllables for Mars. Domesticated.
I had to look it up twice so I could make sure I said it right.
I did watch the very first episode of Iron Resurrection. The guys out of Austin.
Mm-hmm. Martin Brothers.
Yeah, Martin Brothers. It was very good. Very good show. Episode 1, season 1. And that's the fun thing about it is that none of that stuff was on Xfinity.
Yeah.
You'd watch Motor Trend live and you had to wait for the show to come on, record it or whatever you wanted to do. I don't want all that. Just give me the whatever.
You'll binge watch now.
Oh, big time.
Just sit me in front of it.
If I have the time to binge watch, I like binge watching.
Yeah. I told you about the show that we watched the other night that kind of got hooked on Poker Face.
Yeah, you told me about that.
It's a pretty interesting, a lot of plot twists and things like that.
Sounds like a Lady Gaga song.
No. It's,
well, that is a song, but this is something different.
Yeah, it's a series. Anyways, it's good stuff.
All right. What did you have something?
I always have something. Well, you were going to talk about some kind of a train wreck.
Yeah, I got a train thing.
Let's do the train wreck.
Yeah, let's do the train thing. Well, this actually is a news story that came out just earlier in the week, and what it is, Louisville, Kentucky. Kentucky State Police said the train derailed around 2:50 p.m. after trying to avoid a semi-truck that was on the tracks in Gideon Church Road crossing. Very dangerous crossing, evidently. As the train was stopping, it derailed in the process. The train didn't hit the truck because the engine stopped, but everything behind it kind of collected along behind it.
It takes those guys a long time to stop all that weight.
21 train cars carrying vehicles derailed in an incident. The train cars were filled with Fords, Chevys, and Buicks. That's sad right there.
And typically what happens...
New cars. Yeah. Uh-huh. Delivering.
Typically what happens, because when I work for General Motors, I did a couple of these, and that is after the train wreck, those vehicles will never be retailed.
They're scrapping them.
Yeah, typically. No, they don't scrap them. What they do is they donate them to school programs.
Okay.
So that those school programs have new vehicles to teach the kids on.
But in this case, it said they're going to be nothing but scrap. They're just going to, just going to destroy them. A semi-truck on the railroad tracks caused the engineer to hit the emergency brake. They avoided hitting the truck, but couldn't stop all the rail cars from derailing behind it. As a quote, "We're very fortunate that had no loss of life and no significant property damage, except for the train. and that was from the Kentucky State Police. Yeah.
Maudine's shed now behind the restaurant, I think, got a little bit of
damage. Yeah, and I'm going to quote her because you got a second train derailment in this spot less than a year. That one happened in July, and the train crashed into a semi truck. That's why we have a hard time believing it. I thought, oh my gosh, not again. Millie Baker, who owns the Glendale Antique Mall, which is right there at the crossing at the railroad. I always felt safe in my house, but when it happens a second time, it makes you wonder just a little bit.
Want to set up a fruit stand there because so many people are going to be coming to the train wreck.
Well, and to that point, stand. That's a very popular crossing, and there's a school nearby, and that intersection, you know, affords people to go back and forth to the businesses and to the school.
I bet you could get some good apple cider in there.
I bet you could, too.
Or cider of some sort.
I was going to say, probably get some moonshine.
So the train cars, these cars, train cars that haul the cars, they were actually invented or created by General Motors to haul, to transport vehicles. So that's a General Motors thing there. Yeah.
So it's GM's fault they derailed.
Yeah. So what I don't understand, so if you got the train engine there, and it's got all this weight pushing it. Okay, he brings it
and to each car has its own brake, so why didn't they all the rest of them brake behind
it? Yeah, what caused them to go off the track?
Hitting the emergency brake is, I think, what, not slowing down gravity.
Probably well, like a tractor-trailer jackknifes.
Yeah.
You know, you have so much weight and
inertia.
Momentum behind you the that momentum. You may be able to stop the drive vehicle in front, mm-hmm. but the rest of it keeps on pushing, and you're so hard on the brake as it's pushing eventually because, you know, trains are going to pivot in the middle. They're just going to start pivoting.
But what you're saying them. Then is that the lead vehicle or the
engine.
Tractor actually has better brakes than everything else behind it.
Well, remember, the tractor's got four wheels on the ground. The trailer's only got one or two axles in the very, very back.
Eight tires with a contact patch about that big.
But I thought that was part of saying, okay, this tractor can haul this much weight, or this locomotive can do this
much.
Can haul donkey because it's capable of doing that and it's stopping. It's kind of like
traffic. It's kind of the problem with your old Chevelle.
Houston, to where there's nothing. There's no wreck. There's nothing. It just cars stopped.
The engine can stop faster than the...
I was going to say, old Chevelle, it'd go faster than it could stop, right?
Well, definitely.
And the point of this, too, is that if it's happened before, the trailer actually high-sided. The tractor itself
went
across,
over the tracks.
And it was the middle of the trailer that actually...
You would think there'd be some signage there telling you that. You have signage out here by you down the street a little bit about
high-side that every once in a while in Needland, we've got a track that's elevated, and every once in a while, one of those that's got the lower box on it in between the wheels.
Perfect example of that is Highway 36 out here that goes down to Rosenberg up to I-10.
Yep.
Over the side where the track is, next to the road, you have to actually go up to get over the track.
Yeah.
In that area, and that would not be good for an 18-wheeler, because it wouldn't make
Rosenberg has that,
Yep.
Going to the ball fields.
Good news is all they did was wrecked a bunch of cars versus what happened in East Palestine where, you know, it was all chemical.
Yeah.
It used to be any kind of a wreck involving a car carrier. All of the cars on there, totaled, they're all insured.
Yeah.
Manufacturer insures them. The train company insures them. They all get sent off to the crusher because they don't want to take any risk. Mm-hmm. Of having something happen to that car inside the carrier.
Or any of the parts from it, because, you know, you're not allowed to, when I was with GM, you're not allowed to take the wheels and tires off. You're not allowed to take the engines out. That entire car, we donated them to local schools.
And here's another thing. You know, you got these cars on there, and you've been waiting 7 weeks to get your delivery of your brand new
whatever.
And you got to wait again.
Well, I don't know this for a fact, but I have heard, as long as I have I've been doing car reviews, that the pre-production cars that get into the press fleet, they all get sent back and crushed.
Yeah, if you look at the VIN on any car you drive, if the first digit's an X, that car will be either destroyed or museumed.
Yeah. Some of them go through an auction, because I've talked to some people that bought.
Not with the X, but some of the press cars.
They got to be rebadged and retagged.
Yeah. My guess is that the press cars that we get could be resold, but I know that we have seen and been with the pre-production cars yes. that weren't even made at the factory right. where they ultimately were made for the public, that those get sent back and crushed.
Yeah, some of the pilot cars. I've driven some pilot cars here in Houston back yep. in the day. Yeah.
They didn't say how many were on there, but there was 21 train cars.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
because I think each one of those cars holds, well, it's a double-decker deal, and I think that there are a dozen cars.
Yeah, I think there's like nine or ten, yeah.
Something like that. I see them. It's funny because a lot of times they'll do the transfer at the Port of Houston and take them off of a ship. Or obviously, imports.
Or at the Westfield Railhead.
Mm-hmm. Well, they take them off the ship. They put them on a train car. And then from there, they can go to that what do you call it, railhead up there on the north side of town. Mm-hmm. There's also one over by Hobby Airport.
Yeah.
That comes off the port down there at Freeport. So cars, transportation, there's some major, major money in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a suggestion for the people that are listening and watching to do a segment. I was thinking about this week. Send us, or me, or Mike, or whomever, a picture of your first car with a little story. Give us your name, what car
it was.
I think it'd
be a great idea.
What year it was, what make it was. How do you got it? You know, was it a hand-me-down? Did you save up pennies, nickels, and dimes to buy it? Send that to us, and I'll compile that information together, and we'll do a segment on your vehicle.
I love it.
Folks out there.
That sounds good. All right, well, let's move on, shall we? It's 18 minutes after the hour. Where did time go? It flies,
oh my gosh.
Doesn't it? Oh, well, I know why. Because my ego has said, oh, Don, it's time to do your car review.
Oh, I better pop that up.
Of your GMC?
Of my GMC. Are you guys ready?
Always.
Almost.
Okay. I had a chance to drive the 2023 GMC Sierra pickup truck, 1500. It comes in so many different trim levels. It comes 8 trim levels, as a matter of fact. It comes with, you can get it in the Pro, the SLE, the Elevation, the SLT, the AT4, and the AT4X. I had the 1500 AT4X standard pickup truck. Now, this is the top of the line deal. Five passengers or five occupants, including the driver. Mm-hmm. Completely updated last year. Exterior features, overall good looking truck. Mm-hmm. Grill is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Seems a bit disjointed, but that's just me.
I prefer it over the Chevy.
You prefer it over the Chevy?
I prefer the front end look of this over the Chevy.
I prefer the Ram over it. But that's why they all look different, mm-hmm. because you may like one that I don't like. Whatever. Wheels, split tailgate. They all hold changes depending on the trim level. There are different things that come with different trim levels. You want the split tailgate, you're going to have to go up there. You can get it as an option, but if you want it as a standard part of a package, then you go to the upper trim level.
Mm-hmm.
Rear bumper steps should be on all new trucks.
Yes.
That's a GM thing. I think it's great. What I liked about it, the overall stance was awesome. I think that the as far as use improvement, the rock rail is too short to be used as a sidestep. It does. You can't get a whole foot on that thing.
I noticed that on the one you had.
Mm-hmm. Interior highlights: big, wide infotainment screen is perfect. 13.4 inches. It's like watching TV with the old console television.
Did you bring your Roku stick for it?
that'll be next. Well-balanced dash, very GM, with sharp-looking instrument cluster, contrast stitching and piping on those very comfortable leather seating surfaces, limo-like room in the back with the folding seat cushion. It's a truck with a truck bed, so there's three lengths available in the trunk bed, again, depending on what trim level and size and type you get. Trucks, if you want to narrow down your focus on exactly what you want, the truck is the way to go, because you can do so many things with a truck, and that's why they're so popular today. What could use improvement? The wireless phone charger should be standard on all vehicles.
In the thing in the center console?
Console, yeah.
That's it? That's the only thing?
That's what should, yeah. Mine had that.
Oh.
But it's so convenient, instead of plugging it in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
They're different styles. You can lay them down in some sections. There are other ones that you actually slide down in the center console. That's really cool. I like that the best because it takes up less room.
Right.
It takes up a little bit of room in the center console, but you can't see it. All you see is the top edge of the phone in there. 6.2 liter V8, 420 horsepower, 460 pound-feet of torque. Mine was a four-wheel drive. Transmission, 10-speed automatic, tow rating 8,900 pounds, haul rating 1,440 pounds. Now, you can get a four-cylinder engine in it now.
What?
A four-cylinder. High-output
four-cylinder.
Yep, a four-cylinder. It's got 300 and some odd horsepower.
Which is where they package the rebate on it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, don't discard it. If you don't tow anything, and I say anything, if you tow something that's not 9,000 pounds, the four-cylinder may be for you and get really good gas mileage because in this V8, it gets 14 city and rated at 17 highway for a combined of 15. I got 16.3 over 451.5 miles. What I liked, more than enough power for anything a half ton is rated for. What could use improvement? Nothing. Engine choices range from, as I mentioned, the 310 horsepower four-cylinder to a turbo diesel and everything in between, depending on the trim level. What I liked about it, smoother ride than you think about the ride level, ride quality. It's truly amazing what they've done with a non-air suspension truck. What could use improvement? Add a kitchen sink.
Yeah.
No, wait. It has that too, I think.
Oh, boy.
Base trim level. Pricing is $77,500 for the trim. Price is tested $81,000. The base model price is $42,000. How does it compare to other manufacturers? The Ford F-150 goes for $41,530. The Ram starts at $39,200. And the Tundra is at $38,000. So they're all right there, very close to each other.
Depending on the content level you build.
That's right. And those prices are obviously with entry levels and not that trim level that I had. But that's your review of the 2023 GMC Sierra. Time now for the cruise-in calendar. And I think that Conrad has the cruisers.
The cruising.
Don't you?
Yeah, tonight is a track casual at Speed Sports in New Caney. It starts at 4 p.m., goes to 10 p.m. Wheels and Wine at the Bordeaux Vino Wine Bar off of Research Forest Drive in the Woodlands. And that starts at 6 p.m. tonight. Also at 6 p.m. tonight is the Cypress West Vintage Car Meetup at the Twisty Treat off of Fry Road.
The Twisty Treat.
The Twisty Treat.
Yeah. They used to call me that.
Gosh. Well, you remember Carvel?
Carvel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of the same idea.
But you wore a tank top.
And then Corvettes and Caffeine and Rods at the Black Rifle Coffee at 7086 North Highway 6 in Houston. Classics on the Lake in Montgomery, Texas. And that's off of Melville Drive. Classic only cars and trucks. Entry fee for that's $25. The Azalea Car Show off of Sandy Creek Park in Jasper, Texas. Kind of again out there near Mars.
You know where Jasper is.
Yippee-i-o.
Don't you, Mars?
Absolutely.
About an hour north of Silsby.
That's where they kick it.
Right at 80 miles north of me.
Kicking it out in Jasper.
And what did you do up there in Jasper? Sorry.
Stopped and got gas on the way to the lake.
Okay.
Sam
Rayburn. Was something.
That's where Sam Rayburn is near Jasper.
Sam Rayburn.
And then the Still Rolling Car Show off of Greens Road. The Texas Showdown Car Show at the Market Distillery in Katy is tonight.
Do you need to hold that a little bit closer to your glasses so you can actually see what you've written?
Probably. Huh? And then Brookshire Brothers Cruising in Montgomery is tonight at 5 p.m. The Wharton Cruise Night at Domino's Pizza's at 6 p.m. Rally at the Ranch, the HD Grand Opening Car Show in College Station is tomorrow night at 11 a.m. And then Car Culture at Cinco Ranch in Katy.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. The NML Time Car Talk Show is available 24/7 through the iHeartRadio app. Just look for In Wheel Time Car Talk. We also video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com, and podcasts. Oh, yes, we have them. They're available at your fingertips on over a dozen of the most popular podcast outlets. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier car cruise and return, Saturday, April 15th to the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. Bring your Hot Rod, Classic, Restomod, or any other vehicle you'd like to show and compete for one of three highly coveted Chili Pepper trophies. This April 15th kickoff event is one you'll want to put on your calendar because 100% of the money you donate for the free tacos will be given to God's Garage. You heard right, free tacos. Whatever you decide to give, all of it will be given to God's Garage and matched by Loopy Tortilla. God's Garage gifts vehicles to single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military in the greater Houston area. In fact, the garage will gift a vehicle to a mom in need at this special event. Be sure to attend the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Saturday, April 15th, 8 to 11 a.m. at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Free breakfast tacos for any donation to God's Garage. It'll make your heart and your belly feel good. You own a car you love. Well, why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it? Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano-ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels? Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too. Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. The award-winning In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available on the most popular podcast channels out there in 30-minute episodes. We realize our three-hour live show can be difficult to catch in its entirety, so now you can listen every day to a convenient, fresh 30-minute episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible, along with a dozen more. In Wheel Time has the most informative automotive guest interviews and new car reviews, along with popular features including Conrad's Car Clinic and This Week in Auto History, along with automotive news headlines. Our live broadcast airs every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central, on InWheelTime.com, the iHeart app, and on YouTube. Be sure to say hello when we're broadcasting from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn, Autorama, and the Houston Auto Show, among others. Now, it's easier than ever to hear about all things automotive all week long. You're invited to join fellow car enthusiasts in becoming part of the ever-growing In Wheel Time Car Talk family. Don't forget those 30-minute podcast episodes on your favorite podcast channel. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.